Good evening, everyone. Hopefully we are live now on Facebook. And welcome to the last shift church before Christmas. In fact, it might be the last shift church of the year. I think it is. And it's great to see you this evening. Hopefully we will be live in a moment. I'm sure Sean can tell us if we are.
You are live, yes.
Excellent, brilliant. So yeah, who have we got with us this evening? Do introduce yourself, guys.
Hello.
Well, you go then first, Sean.
Okay, yeah. Do you like my hat, by the way? Can you see it?
Yeah. I think it looks like pizza.
I tried one of those and Liz said it looked like pizza.
Anyway, I'm Sean and hello everybody, and looking forward to doing tonight. So thank you very much for having me.
We've got no option, have we, Sean? No. you might have gathered everybody else, and even if you're listening in, you might have gathered it's Sarah here. The last shift of the year, literally. Last shift sitting in. So yeah. Hi everybody. And felicitous greetings for the evening. It's a big word, isn't it? I know. I don't even know if it's a real word, but it is now.
I thought you were speaking Spanish then. I thought you were going for sort of.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Yeah.
So the last few weeks we've obviously been thinking about Advent, and we've been thinking about preparing for Jesus to come, and how we can prepare our hearts for Him. And how we can live the life He's prepared for us as well. So I wonder how you're all getting on this week with preparing for Christmas and where you are with it in, you know, the last few days before Christmas. Are you stressed or are you peaceful? Are you all ready or are you not ready? How's the shopping going? How's the food going? All of that. And do join in on the stream. So you guys, how are you doing? Are you complete place of calm, Sarah?
I wouldn't describe it as calm. I know what I've got to do. It's just madness in doing it. Yeah, I mean, I finished from work, thankfully, on Friday, but I've not stopped since because it's been so hectic at work. I've done no preparation. So 5 o'clock on Friday, then everything went crazy. And but on top of that, I've had an assignment to do today, which I've crammed in and got done today. But I was just saying, actually, wasn't I, before we came on air, that my plan was, once we finished this evening, was to jet off to a nice quiet Tesco's to do my Christmas food shopping. Yeah. However, it's thrashing down of rain and I really don't want to go out in it.
Horrible. It's really
so hard. I've decided I'm doing a 5 a.m. journey instead.
Yeah, that sounds really good fun, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually had a online Tesco shop yesterday, and actually it pretty much all came because we've had some interesting substitutions over the years, actually, at Christmas.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
I love to hear about these.
Oh gosh, well, I'm trying to think what we had. I know one year, you know, I'd ordered something like a nut, because I'm vegetarian, so I'd ordered like a nut roast or something. And I do remember one year where they tried to give me fish. I was like, oh, thanks.
All right.
That's not veggie. The worst one I heard about, somebody, I'd read about this on the forum. Somebody ordered what was it? They'd ordered bird food and they got given a little wooden owl. any of you got funny substitution stories? Do join in on the stream.
Where are you up to, Sean? All your presents bought and wrapped?
We've got lots of people on. Ali, Charlotte, Michelle, all on and saying hi, and all liking my hat, actually. They think it's great, the pizza hat.
I like my hat. My hat's a real hat, it's not a virtual.
My lights that I keep banging my head on, not.
Yeah. We need some comments for Liz's hat, definitely. I think it looks great, personally. So they're all a bit slow tonight by the looks of it.
Oh no.
I'm sorry to do the whole bit of quiz of what's the matter with my jumper.
Go on then.
Although if Tim's watching, so what's the matter with my jumper, especially if you're Tim? Anybody know?
Oh, it's
you all see
the
that.
Nativity, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So answers on the chat. What's the matter with it? What's wrong with it?
What's wrong with it? Yeah. That'd be
exactly.
And Tim's not allowed to enter.
Yeah. Okay, well, they're now actually saying they like your hat now. Ali and Charlotte said you look very festive and your hat is gorgeous. So there you go, this.
Oh, well,
but the jumper, sorry, go on. No one's commented about the jumper yet, sorry.
We were exploring, weren't we? We were exploring the different Zoom backgrounds you can get, and I particularly like this one as well, so I'm going to put that one on.
I think that really complements your hat.
Yes. Definitely.
It goes well with the hat. So, yeah, I'll leave that on. A nice distraction for you. Right. So, excellent. Any more thoughts on where we are with preparation, either from you or from the stream?
I think Charlotte said she's sorted already, by the sounds of it. Yeah, I think she said she's already here, she says. So,
fantastic.
I finished work on Christmas Eve. I'm hoping that we're going to give us half a day, so I'll finish at midday rather than till 5, which would be really good.
I hope so.
And in fact, like you, Sarah, I'm going to be going to M&S tonight because it's open till 10 o'clock. Oh. So after this, I'm going to go to
M&S.
Ooh, very nice.
Paying you too much, Sean.
Okay, brilliant. Well, our spoken word today is actually, it's one of my poems, I'm afraid, but we thought we'd share a Christmassy poem this evening. So I am now. A hark the herald in a weary cave, a midnight clear blinks through our fears. And all ye faithful come and praise as a silent night is draped in light. A bleak midwinter awakened to spring as shepherds hear glory from angel realms. On Christmas night, the whole world sings, O come, Emmanuel. O little town, your story resounds through first Noels and merrily bells. Through a manger away and a shining new day, we salute the morn as the anthem swells. O see amid our winter pain, amid our night where dread takes flight, what child is this who rests our shame? Joy to the world in a brand new name. A heart the herald in our weary souls, a midnight clear in our deepest fears. A little town of hallowed ground and joy in the morning when you are here. Go. Oh, Sarah, goodness me. I'm going to take mine off now because I don't like them. So I think we're going to go on to our Bible readings now, just leading on from that, just thinking a little bit about Christmas joy. I hope you all enjoyed that poem. So I think, Sarah, have you got our first reading tonight?
Or is it Charlotte? I have, and it's not appropriate really. I read it with a headscarf on, is it? So
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have the Old Testament reading, which is taken from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 33, to chapter 11, verse 10. And I'm reading from the New International Version.
Right.
See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious.
Thank you, Sarah. I think that's one of those passages that's got so much in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got lots of themes of hope in it, hasn't it, as well as kind of prophecy for the nearer future. It's about the further on, isn't it? It's about the bigger story. And those pictures in it are quite powerful. The lion and the lamb. And is it the wolf and the lamb? I think that one said. Just the thought of everything being as it should be. It's really,
good old Isaiah.
Yeah, I know, I love Isaiah.
We're both Isaiah fans, aren't we?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, so Sean, I think you've got a gospel reading, haven't you?
I have. I'm reading from Matthew 1, verse 18 to the end, and it's Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage So she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. Yeah, I think sometimes it's really good to just stop and think for a moment about that situation that Mary and Joseph are in.
Yeah.
Because we read it every year, don't we? And we get to kind of think they were actually in a really desperate situation with the world around them looking on and judging.
Yeah.
And they had to take hold of that fact. They knew that this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but everyone around them would be like, what? And they, you know, they'd be making assumptions.
Yeah. It was such an amazing act of faith, wasn't it, from Joseph?
Yeah.
You know, with Mary, there was no denying. You know, she might have doubted briefly when, you know, she's there, got names told, well, you know, you're going to be pregnant. Ridiculous. But then she can't deny the fact, oh, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
But for Joseph, you know, yeah. I think in this day and age, there'd be, you know,
a lot more skepticism.
Yeah.
Well, he was obviously the right person, wasn't he? He was chosen.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because the other thing that is something that's difficult to accept is that Mary would have only been like 14 or something like that, and I don't know how old Joseph would have been, but that as well is quite interesting, because obviously that was a cultural thing, wasn't it? It wasn't, you know, nowadays that would be really odd, but obviously then it was cultural, so it is very. The whole thing, like you say, Liz, is really, really hard and to get your head around, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't really know how old she was.
No.
But like you say, probably, you know, fairly young, maybe 16 or 17, you know, but you don't really.
No.
You don't really know. Yeah. So we're going to be thinking about a little bit more about the Holy Spirit now. So we are going to be hearing from Tim. So bear with me as I get that ready.
Gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm about to ask a question which strikes fear into the heart of every congregation living to a preacher. Does anybody know what time it is? Because I've my watch stopped this morning, so I have no idea what time it is or how long I've gone on for. And what date is it? 19th, okay. What about what geological epoch is it? Anybody know? Any geologists out there? Now, there is actually some debate about this. You'll be interested to hear. Have we left the Holocene and entered the Anthropocene? That is the question. You see, geological epochs, they're divided up by things that you can see in the geological record. So there was a change when there was a big meteorite hit and it wiped out all the dinosaurs, and you can see that in the geological record. So the question that geologists are kind of wrestling with is, have what mankind done, Anthropocene, Anthropos, people, with our nuclear testing and our carbon stuff, have we left enough of a layer in the geological record that any geologist in 10 million years, if we're still around, looking back could see, oh, well, that was when mankind really made an impact on the planet on a geological level. Maybe layers of plastic in the rock sediment, that kind of thing. Now, those are the kind of things geologists talk about. Now, what about the theological age? What age are we living in? You see, over the last couple of weeks, we've been reflecting on this time between times. The time between Jesus' incarnation, between when he was born as a human being, and between his return, when he returns in glory. And through that time, we've thought about us preparing the way of the Lord, and we've thought about us walking the way that the Lord has prepared for us in this time between times, in this time of waiting. And we've seen the kingdom of God come near, but not yet break through in all its fullness. We are in the time of now and not yet. We live in the age of the new covenant. It's made in Jesus' blood on the cross, which we celebrate at communion. The old covenant is done away with, and we live in the age of the new covenant. There's lots of different ways of answering this question. What theological age do we live in at the moment? But this morning, I'd just like to encourage us to focus on one that was suggested, I think, by today's readings. I'd like to suggest that we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be forgiven for thinking that I'd got my church calendar a bit mixed up. Hold on a minute, you might say. We think about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, not at Advent. You're at the wrong time of year, Tim. I was at a prayer meeting for church leaders about a month or so ago, and we were thinking about the possibility of doing a town-wide event next Pentecost in 2022. So I turned to Leslie Burke, who's the pastor of Telford Pentecost Elim Church, Pentecostal Church, and I said, "You're a Pentecostal, you should know when Pentecost is." And he said, "For Pentecostals, every day is Pentecost." And I'd just like us to take that on just for a bit this morning. You see, I do believe that not just for members of Pentecostal denominations, but actually for every Christian, there is a sense in which every day is Pentecost because we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not to say that the Holy Spirit suddenly sprang into existence at Pentecost, but I believe that the ministry of Jesus on earth was the introduction to a change in the way that the Holy Spirit works on earth. You see, we know that the Holy Spirit was there at the creation of the world. It says in Genesis 1, we read of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, hovering over the darkness and the chaos, being intimately involved in the creation of all things. And then through the Old Testament, we read of the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the Holy Spirit, working in and through particular individuals to bring about the purposes of God. And we, of course, read prophecies of what the Holy Spirit is going to do in the future. And one of those was in our reading from the book of Isaiah this morning. Now, for those of you who've been here the last 2 weeks, this bit might sound quite familiar. And in fact, I feel like a bit of a stuck record. Because once again, we are in a portion of Isaiah in which the writer is sharing hope with God's people in the time of turmoil. Lots of warnings. And then these occasional passages of hope, like roses between thorns. And again, as we have in the other passages of Isaiah we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, we see in the historical record some of the prophecy fulfilled. So, in this case, Assyria was cut down to size. The exiles did return. There are elements of this prophecy, as there have been from the previous 2 weeks, that have been fulfilled. And later on, Jesus, the son of David, an offshoot of the stump of Jesse, did rise in righteousness and faithfulness. But we have not yet seen the knowledge of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. We haven't seen the lion eating straw like the ox. You see, we live in the now and not yet. We live in the between time. And how does Isaiah describe the one who is going to bring about this change, the launch of this era? Isaiah says he is the one that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon. So now let's skip forward to Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus' life. This morning we lit our four Advent candles. We lit our fourth one to remember Mary. the mother of Jesus, obedient to God's will. And in these few verses, we read of Jesus' conception. And who appears twice as the agent of conception? The Holy Spirit. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the link back to Isaiah is made even more explicit in what Matthew writes in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. All this, including the Holy Spirit's role in the conception of Jesus, took place to fulfill the prophet's words. And as we read through Jesus' life, we see this theme repeating. We've seen the Holy Spirit there at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life. And we see the Holy Spirit at the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus goes to his cousin John at the Jordan, and what happens? He's baptized. What happens as he comes up out of the water? There's very few things that all four of the gospel writers write about. And one of those few things is the fact that the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus at his baptism, came on him to equip and empower him for his public ministry. Now, after his baptism, Jesus goes out into the wilderness, into the desert for 40 days without eating and drinking to be tempted by the devil. And he resists that temptation, and then he returns to Nazareth. And Luke records one of his first sermons. And what is the very first thing that Luke records as Jesus saying in the synagogue in his public ministry? It's a reading from the prophet Isaiah. And what does he say? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus is clearly, through all the Gospels, through all this, clearly presented as the one who fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, of the one who will rise up from the stump of Jesse to judge in righteousness, to bring peace to the world, because the Spirit of God is on him. And part of what Jesus did was his teaching. And part of it was his call to people to follow him. And part of it is his death and resurrection. That's what it means for Jesus to be Messiah. And part of it, I believe, is the beginning of the age of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus explains to his friends and followers in the final days of his life on earth that the Father is going to send them another helper, another advocate, to help them, to be with them forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes to speak to them after he'd returned to life, after his resurrection, Jesus tells his followers to remain in Jerusalem, to wait for the gift that had been promised. And they wait. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on all of the believers, equipping and empowering them to tell the wonderful acts of God. And then comes the account of the growth of the early church, the book of Acts. The Acts of whom? We often know it as the Acts of the Apostles, don't we? There's at least one major commentator who suggests that, at least as a corrective, we could think of it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because as you read through it, yes, we find the apostles doing things, but actually we find all those things the apostles doing because of the equipping and enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Furthering the kingdom of God, pointing to Jesus. And we now live in this age, the age in which the Holy Spirit is active and working, present in every Christian. So what? So what does this mean for Advent? I've gone all enthusiastic off to Pentecost, but we're still in Advent. What does it mean for Advent as we prepare to celebrate the beginning of this age and as we wait for it to end? Well, one of the prayers of Advent as we look forward to Jesus' return echoes the prayer at the end of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, we wait for Jesus' return. Come, Lord Jesus. But as we wait, there's another prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. We've seen that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of this age. And over the last couple of weeks, we thought about what it means practically for us to live in this Advent season. The way that we prepare for the Lord and walking in the way that Jesus has prepared for us. And you see, in my experience, in both those things, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes it possible. With my strength and my resources, I can't level mountains or raise valleys, physical ones or spiritual or emotional or behavioral ones. The things in my heart and our community that need changing, leveling, preparing for Jesus, I can't do that in my strength. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us who does that work. Left to ourselves, we can't follow the way of Jesus, the route, the road. We can't walk the way Jesus walked. But we aren't on our own. We have each other. But more than that, we have another companion. We now have the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit's presence, his equipping and empowering of us, that we can prepare the way of the Lord, that we can walk the way of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that grows the fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control that we need to show the kingdom values now as we wait for Jesus to come and bring it in all its fullness. In these COVID times when we're uncertain and we don't know what the best thing to do is and people around us feel anxious and people are getting angry with each other, surely it's those fruits of the Holy Spirit that we really need to live well now. It's only by the Holy Spirit working in and through us that we can do this. It's the same Spirit that was on Jesus, the same Spirit was on Jesus that gives us the wisdom and the understanding, the counsel, the power, the knowledge, the fear of the Lord. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, recorded in the Gospel of John, we must be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit brought Jesus to birth. And the Holy Spirit brings us to new birth so that we can live in this new age as faithful followers of Jesus and on into the age to come when we see Jesus return in all his glory, bringing the kingdom in all its fullness. Come, Lord Jesus. And come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Any thoughts on that? Any questions on that? Anything on the stream that you'd like to sort of pick up from all of that? I mean, for me, that there was a lot in that, but any initial thoughts, you guys?
Ali says, I think the Holy Spirit is sometimes viewed as the weakest part of the Trinity. Interesting, though, that in Matthew 12, Jesus says that every sin will be forgiven, even against himself, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. This is, for me, an emphasizes the importance of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives.
Yeah, that's true that often we forget to think about the Holy Spirit, don't we? Church, it's like, oh, it's just an aside.
Yeah.
And sometimes people think of it as a bit, maybe a bit odd, maybe a bit kind of like, because it was always called the Holy Ghost, so.
Yeah, people have, I think that's what it was, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about a ghost? That just sounds a bit weird.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, you're right. I think the Trinity, obviously Jesus, you know, God is the Father. Jesus came to earth as a man and we identify with him because he was in human likeness, the Bible says. Yet the Holy Spirit is, well, you know, you get the impression you're not quite sure, although we know that the Holy Spirit is our enabler, our helper, our counsellor. So... It's quite interesting because when I spend time praying and trying to give thanks to God, I kind of the Holy Spirit, I just thank the Holy Spirit for the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit and that, and then that's kind of it, really. Whereas if I'm praying with God the Father, you know, I thank God for his protection and that sort of thing, and then Jesus for dying on the cross. But the Holy Spirit is, it's almost like it's very short in terms of giving thanks to the Holy Spirit for what he does, if that makes sense. It's
maybe it's finding new ways to thank the Holy Spirit and include the Holy Spirit, and I think Tim's words there were really helpful. About what he was talking about, how Jesus claimed at the early part of his ministry, Isaiah 61, so he's talking about how the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and then those things that Jesus talked about were so powerful, because he talked about how he'd come to proclaim freedom to the captives, didn't he, and to release prisoners, give recovery of sight to the blind, and all of those really, really powerful things. And that, you know, those are the things that the Holy Spirit do. So the Holy Spirit is so powerful, and so powerful in our lives as well. But also I think the Holy Spirit is very present in terms of giving us hope for the future. Because the other thing that Tim was talking about there that always really speaks to me is the idea of the in-between. So the now and the not yet that we live in. So at the moment, in the now, we live in the world, which is full of suffering and full of struggle and difficulty. But we see signs of the not yet. We see signs of the kingdom. Sometimes we see them breaking through, like a window on heaven. Sometimes we see how it will be and how it should be. And they sort of sustain us, those signs, they sustain us. Where we are now, even if it's painful where we are, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, sort of assuring us that God has a future for us, have a hope for us, and that he has come, you know, to bind up the brokenhearted. So Sarah, what about you?
I think from my perspective, I think probably over the last 18 months, and I'm saying that because it ties quite nicely in with lockdown, so perhaps a little longer than that, but it's a time when I suddenly found myself with, like everybody, with so much more time on my hands, and you know, time when I could start dedicating more intentional time to my sort of study of God and the Word and what have you. And that's when my relationship with God changed massively. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I'm actually more or less consciously aware of the Holy Spirit living within me, and he's always there. You know, we talk about, you know, God is always with us, and people who don't have a faith, well, how can that be? Well, that's because Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I was thinking about this the other day as well, that, you know, my whole sort of thought, you know, when you say, oh, go off your gut instinct, you know, your intuition and blah, blah, blah. To me, there's no such thing as gut instinct and intuition. That's the Holy Spirit guiding me. That's, you know, and I was thinking about this after Tim's sermon on Sunday, and I personally always feel very close to the Holy Spirit, because I just, you know, he's within me always, and it's what's guiding me. And that's why I think, you know, the sort of sense of, or can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in the room, you know, carry on, and the Holy Spirit might come. And I can understand that sort of, but in my mind, the Holy Spirit is always here.
He's already there.
Always here. What we should be praying for is that we connect with the Holy Spirit. It's not a case of beckoning the Holy Spirit. Come on now, we're ready for you.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is here.
Yeah.
Us that have got to change to realise that and embrace that.
We don't conjure up the Holy Spirit. The Holy
no,
Spirit.
Absolutely not. Yeah, it's like the dove from above. Yeah. You know, it's just not how it works.
Oh gosh, that takes me back, Sarah.
I know, yes.
The Michelle says about the idea that the Holy Spirit is her best friend because he is, or what she's saying is almost like reprograms us to make us aware of sin when we're born again, and the idea that the Holy Spirit is our best friend because he's with us all the while and convicting us and showing us how we need to be and what we need to do. And I agree with her, actually. It's really a good point that she's made.
Yeah. And you're never really alone. And at a time when a lot of people are very lonely, you know, it's good to know that. And especially at sort of 4 o'clock in the morning times, you know, when everything seems so much worse in the dark and what have you. I sort of get great comfort at those times of thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit's within me. I'm not on my own.
Yeah.
And God knows everything I'm going through.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with that original statement you made, that the whole sort of about the Holy Spirit is because, you know, we always used to refer to the Holy Ghost. So it was, you know, that wasn't a favourable term, I don't think, was it? That's
a translation.
Fair
enough. But
is it the King James Bible kind of encourages the Holy Ghost?
I don't know what the Greek is. Tim would know.
So, yeah.
If Tim's around, he can tell us on stream. But
yeah.
I assume it's more to do, I mean, there's translations to the Holy Spirit, isn't there? Like the Ruach, which is the breath, the breath of life, or the which is, all to do with, and the Holy Spirit was right there at the beginning of creation, breathing. And it says in Genesis that the Holy Spirit is brooding over the waters.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that the Trinity, sometimes it's complicated for us to think about, you know, God, Father, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but they were all right there at the start.
Yeah. The same time. I like that image of, and the word escapes me at the minute, but it being like a dance. We've got the image, haven't we, on there. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Come on, somebody else.
Sacred dance?
No. Pardon? Sacred dance. No. Yeah. It's the word. Something charisis. Oh, it'll come to me.
I like that verse in as you mentioned, Liz, about in Genesis where it says, similarly, it says, let us go down and make man in our image. So it says, let us. In other words, it's not just God. There's Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well. So they're all going down to create man, and that's I find that verse amazing, you know, really good.
Yeah. And I really liked everything Tim was saying there about this time, the time between times, I think he called it. Did he call it the time between times? And just remembering that even though we're in that in between, we have that hope to look forward to. And he reminded us of the exiles in Babylon who were told by Jeremiah that they had hope and a future, but they were still living in that in-between time and not necessarily seeing it, but knowing it was coming. And I think that's what we need to hold on to.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if anyone watching tonight or listening on the podcast is just feeling a little bit like they've run out of hope, that they don't know how to cling to that hope because they don't feel that they can see it in their lives. That just sort of occurred to me now, and I just think that God is wanting to speak to you really and minister to you tonight, and to just to assure you that you have hope in him, and he has come to bind up your wounds by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think let's go into a little bit of worship. And I think we have got the song "He Has Done Great Things," which is a great song. So. There we go. Sorry about the technical hitch there. The screen went blank. I think Sarah's got some prayers for us.
Yes. Okay, so let's just be calm for a few seconds and just prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise that you are our comforter and our friend, that we are living in your age, the age of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that like a mighty rushing wind, you fill this place, be it Pentecost or Christmas, you charge us and renew us. Creator of everything in heaven and on earth, we're sorry for those times when we feel weak and ungrateful. May our roots grow deep into your love and keep us strong, that we may feel empowered with inner strength through your Spirit. Glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you give us spiritual wisdom and insight and flood our hearts with light. We ask that at this busy time, as we prepare for Christmas, you will know how much we love you and that we will strive to ensure you're always our first thought when we think of Christmas. Not the commercial or the crazy, but thoughts of our Christ Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we give up our own ideas and efforts and put ourselves in your hands. We open our eyes to see life from your perspective. We approach you with open hands and are ready to receive you. Amen.
Holy Spirit, thank you that you are our assurance and that you remind us of the hope that we have in you, and that you are the one who binds our wounds. And I pray, Lord, for everyone here tonight and for all of us, Lord, that you would just remind us of that and just assure us as we go into this Christmas time, Lord, this year, this really strange year, Lord, that you just fill us to bursting really with that hope, Lord. Just knowing that you're there around us and that you love us and that you're holding us and that you have great things for us, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you were there at the beginning and you are there now and you will be there at the end. We thank you that you are enable us and help us to go on in our journey with God, and we thank you that you are our enabler, our counselor, our helper. As Jesus said, I'm sending someone that will enable you to do great things, even greater things than me. How amazing is that, that the Holy Spirit, you help us to do great things. And we just thank you that that we can pray to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we pray for all these things going on in the news at the moment, and we just pray for everyone who's affected over Christmas by COVID in any form, for those who've had to cancel because they've got COVID, or they're worrying about having to cancel, or anything else that's just hanging over them, for people who've got people ill in hospital. Just anything, Lord, that people are struggling with at the moment, and just the uncertainty of it all. I pray, Lord, that you will just be that that reminder for them of joy and hope and peace and of what you came for, Lord. And I just pray for our local hospital and all the hospitals, Lord, in the country and in the world. Lord, I just pray for them as they face these really difficult times. I pray that they would know you with them, strengthening them and bringing peace in the midst of chaos, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I have that word for you that I was trying to think of. It's perichoresis.
Oh, what does it mean?
Perichoresis, it's basically taking the elements of the Holy Spirit, and it talks about it being more of a dance than separate being. So it's the, you know, saying about the three elements of the Trinity having been there from day. I'm very like this, and so but we've actually got the perichoresis as part of our imagery at the church.
Have we?
Somewhere like, yeah, hang on a minute. Ooh.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
there we go. It's the, it's sort of dancing.
I thought you were doing the kind of...
liturgical dance, that's what you thought, wasn't it?
All right, and has there been, before we go, has anybody made any comments about the jump? Does anybody know what's wrong?
Do you know, I don't think anyone has. No one's told us with Sarah's jumper. Shall I say?
Go on then. And this is according to your husband, by the way.
Yeah, well, the first thing that's wrong is that Jesus wasn't actually born in a stable. But, you know, most likely under a house.
Yeah.
You know, and in a place where they kept the animals. So,
yeah.
Possibly a kind of cave-like area or cellar-like area underneath the house, you know, where they kept animals. Still pretty cold and horrible. And the other thing is the three wise men, or the unknown number of Magi. Wise people, did not visit at the same time as the shepherds.
As the shepherds, no, that's all right.
But you know, hey-ho.
It makes for a pretty Christmas card.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And it makes a nice tableau for primary.
Yes. So, before we go, just a couple of thank yous from Ali and Joel. Thanking us all for a good evening and leading Shift Church throughout the year, and wishing us all a good Christmas. And Ali says, each of you has been a real blessing to me. Merry Christmas. And again, Michelle has also said that. Look forward to Wednesday evenings. Merry Christmas all. And Elizabeth also. So
they're all
thanking us. So
we look forward to being with you guys too.
We do.
Yeah, we do, yeah. Really do.
And if any of you guys feel like you want to be part of the team, then do let us know. But we'll be back with you in the new year at some point. We will let you know. And in the meantime, you can find us here on the podcast and on YouTube. And don't forget about if you're local, Christmas services. We've got the crib service on Christmas Eve, and I think it's at 3 o'clock rather than 4 o'clock, and it's outside in the rain. So that would be nice. but rather than have it all crowded indoors. And then we've got a Christmas morning service at 10:30 on Christmas Day. Oh yeah, and a Christmas Eve communion at 7:30. Yeah. And I think those ones will be streamed live as well. So we'll see you on there, hopefully.
And I'm glad you mentioned the podcast, actually, Liz, because apologies to everybody listening on the podcast, because it's just dawned on me that when I'm standing up and showing everyone my jumper, it means nothing to you guys on the podcast.
We do captions.
Hopefully you got an idea that
the same with the hovering piece of pizza on Sean's head, and
yes, there's an image.
I was trying to get
rid of it. Not only Christmas.
I couldn't work out R2, so I know, because you got rid of the lights and the antlers, but I can't get rid of these pictures, so never mind.
It's going to be there forever now, whenever you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys.
Well, guys, we will see you on the other side and in 2022.
Lovely Christmas, everybody. And I hope it's a real time of blessing for you. So it's a goodbye from me, and it's a
goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Yeah, goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.